classic Roger. He never.
I was hoping somebody else would step forward. William, are you speaking today? Before, when I was walking in, sisters would come up and say, "Praying for you, brother." I said, "Great, what can I pray for you for?" I said, "Well, I said I won't fall down." And most of what I meant was not about nervousness. You always get nervous up here, but that's not the reason to fall down. We sang a song this morning, In the Presence, 158. Is that you? In the presence of your infinite might, I'm so small and frail and weak. You know, today we're going to share on the king, the throne, and stuff that makes you feel very small, frail, and weak, which it should. But I cry, "Holy, holy, holy God, how awesome is your name." So may the Lord bless us. Lord, I really do have a sense of that sharing on things are way too big. But it's in your word, and it's a wonderful, wonderful section of scripture. Lord, how majestic is your name, how great you are. Lord, I just pray that this morning you would just reveal your word to us. Lord, we know everything that's going to be said, we know. But I pray that your spirit would really, really enable us to hear, Lord, to hear what you have to say. In your name I pray. Amen. Okay, a little test. Well, first, a few comments, then I'm going to ask you a question, so see how good you listen. How do you view God? I mean, that's one of those leading questions. Well, I know you got a specific, you know, reason for asking it, but how do you view God? What is your view of God? If I had to ask you for one word that described God, what would it be?
Love.
Powerful. Majestic.
Sovereign.
Holy.
Awesome.
There are 15 attributes of God, and y'all have mentioned some of them. What's an attribute? Bob, what's an attribute?
Characteristic.
Oh, no cheating. What is an attribute? And Bob said a characteristic? Yeah? But I asked you, Bob. So. What else? What else is an attribute?
Reveals what you are.
Yeah, it reveals what you are. It's a defining quality about you, about your character. So when I ask, who is God? What are the defining qualities or characteristics of God? Now, I know we don't like theology around here, but theology is the study, well, you know, the seminary stuff. It is a study of God. And in that study of God, you find at least 15 attributes in Scripture. So, name some more attributes. Oh, well, I'll name these attributes. And then I'm going to ask you which is the most important or which most define the Lord. Okay? I think we named about 4 or 5. God is infinite. Did Stella do something? God is infinite. He is self-existing without origin. God is immutable. He never changes. God is self-sufficient. within himself. He needs no other person to be who he is. God is omnipotent, means he's all-powerful. God is omniscient, he is all-knowing. God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. God is wise, God is faithful. God is good, God is just, God is merciful. God is gracious, God is loving, God is holy, and God is glorious. These are some attributes that man has got together from scriptures. Now, let me ask you another question. From heaven's point of view, not man's, but from heaven's point of view, what is the greatest attribute of God?
God is holy.
Thank you, Brian. God is holy. Now, man would say, especially modern Christians, and I know some people said this, but I'm not lumping you with them, with modern Christianity. God is love. God is love. First and foremost, he's love. But you know, God says, first and foremost, I'm holy. So today we're going to consider holiness. And we're going to go to two scriptures. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation chapter 4. But before we go to chapter 6, let me read to you a definition of holiness. Holiness is actually very difficult to describe. But of all the attributes of God, holiness is the one that most uniquely describes him. And in reality, it is a summation of all his other attributes. The word holiness refers to his separateness, his otherness, the fact that he is unlike any other being. It indicates his complete and infinite perfection. Holiness is the attribute that binds all others together. Andrew Murray says, holiness is that awful glory by which divinity is separated from all that is created. So when we go to scriptures, we'll be considering holiness and the realm of God. And this is where it's just absolutely amazing and astounding. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Last week, one sister said, why don't we just sing holy, 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 and then worship? And I was so encouraged by this morning's worship, because we worship God about many of the things I'm going to share. So these things are not new. Verse 1 through 5. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah had just died, an earthly king. And the Lord lifts his eyes up and says, I'm going to show you who I am as king. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. Now, straightway we can see that in the throne room, his throne, there's one sitting upon it who's ruling and reigning. There's one sitting on the throne. And as you compare, see what holiness is, that separateness, that transcendent otherness, we can see that the throne of God is high above the throne of any throne on earth. He is reigning. That's what he means by the Lord sitting on a throne. He's reigning. While on earth, kings come and go, the Lord reigns. He also says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted. And we see here that our Lord is lofty and exalted, high above everything, every ruler, every authority. He's high and lifted up. He's exalted. With the train of his robe filling the temple. So we have God sitting on a throne, highly exalted, and his train fills the temple. Now, the train is a sign of his royalty and his kingship, and his train fills the temple. In other words, there's no room in this throne for any other throne. He is the only sovereign Lord. Now, this is a vision compared to Uzziah, who just died. Isaiah was familiar with throne rooms and such. But here, the Lord is showing him his throne, the place where he reigns, where he rules. Verse 2, seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. Two he covered his feet, his face, with two he flew. And he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Turn to Ezekiel. Just to say something about what these seraphim were like. In verse 124, I also heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of abundant waters as they went, like the voice of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army camp. And whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. These seraphim are mighty creatures that God made. And he made them for one purpose, but they are not silent. They're speaking. But also when they fly, when they move, there's a great sound that comes from their wings. This, to me, gives just an indication of the majesty and the greatness of God's throne room. It's a place of great excitement and movement. It's a place of great power. And we see these seraphim who stand there. They cover their face. They cover their feet. They covered their face because of the glory of the Lord was right there. And even they who were created to glorify the Lord don't look upon the Lord. They cover their feet because the ground that they are on is holy. And when they fly, there's this great sound like the Almighty that as they do God's bidding. These are great creatures. And they do this proclamation. And they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And they sing it in one, I guess two, sing it to the other two, and the other two sing it, and it goes back and forth over the throne of God. Back and forth, this great sound. In another place in scriptures, it says their voice is like thunder, like a trumpet. So you have in the heavenlies, and maybe they're flapping their wings, I don't know what they're doing with their wings, but they are... Over the throne of God, there's this continual cry of holy, holy, holy in a mighty, thunderous voice. And so powerful is this voice that the foundations of the threshold tremble. Isn't that amazing? The temple of God, so powerful is this message that the threshold, I read it like it's the sockets of the post that hold up. I mean, the temple shake. Now, can you imagine the power to shake the temple of God in the heavens? And that message that they have is holy, holy, holy. So the holiness of God is connected, is part and parcel of, is, and I'm losing words to describe it, has to do with his kingdom, the exalted Lord, his reigning, his throne room. Holiness is the first thing that you hear in heaven. It is the major thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it also says the whole earth is full of his glory. And glory is the revelation of holiness. It's the outflow of God's holiness. And that holiness, Scripture says, covers the earth. It fills the earth. It also fills the heavens in another place in Scripture. So we see that the holiness of God fills the earth. Now, this is an awesome thing. Can you imagine being Isaiah, and in a vision, you see this? And, of course, your reaction would be like his. He said, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. And you say, Isaiah, that was his major thing, to speak the words of God. But he said, I am ruined. I am ruined. It's like when you come and you see the Lord high and lifted up, all of your best, all that your service, all your ministry is just, Lord, I'm undone. I'm undone. May we see, I really appreciate our opening this morning and all the world's ongoings, all that goes on in the world that has gone on from Isaiah's time, well, before Isaiah, but from Isaiah's time on, there's always been a Lord reigning and ruling in this manner, high and lifted up and exalted. And holiness has always been the cry in heaven. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's see if I have anything else about that. Oh, something else. Somebody tell me the answer to this. While the temple was filling with smoke, why smoke? Do what? That's an answer. You're very true. The incense in Revelation. But what is smoke? Burnt offerings? Well, let's go look at it. Yeah. I don't want to say, let's just say what Scripture says here. Revelation 15, it is 15, verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from what? The glory of God and from his power. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. So the picture is a throne room unlike any on earth, full of majesty, full of royalty, with an exalted king, with four creatures right by the throne who are crying out in a thunderous voice, loud enough to shake the temple thresholds, crying out, holy, holy, holy. And the smoke from their praise, from the glory of God, fills the temple. So the temple is filled with his train, with his royalty, and with his power and his glory. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's the God we serve. Now go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Let me read you a quote from Spurgeon. The most spiritual and sanctified minds, when they fully perceive the majesty and holiness of God, are so greatly conscious of their great disproportion, of the great disproportion between themselves and the Lord, that they are humbled and filled with holy awe, and even dread and alarm. I love that. The most spiritual and sanctified mind is still full of dread and awe when we view these things. That's so true. Verse 1. We'll read 1 through verse 10. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here." I just want to stop right there. I love this. Come up here. Do you know, vantage point matters. I'm a little embarrassed to say I like to watch the Ukraine war and how they're fighting, strategy and such, and you know, I'd love to be a general one day, you know, but whatever. I don't worry about their shooting, but to strategize is great. But anyway, they have these drones, the guy who's doing the drone is sitting on, you know, standing on the ground or whatever. See the trees, and I mean, they're trying to hide, and he might see just a few feet. You lift that drone up, the drone goes up, and you, all of a sudden, what you can see is so much bigger. And there's the enemy over there, and there's this, and there's that. Height, vantage point matters in warfare. But you know, vantage point matters for you and I as well. How do we view the world? How do we view our situation? And this call really is a call to us as well to come up here. Come see from heaven's viewpoint, earth. Come see heaven from heaven's viewpoint. What does heaven see? What does heaven worship? And then it really helps in your own disposition. So come up here. Let's all hear the call. Come up here and I will show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. Just as in Isaiah, a throne is in heaven, and there's one sitting on that throne, reigning and ruling. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. This is the verse we'll pay special attention to. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. So this description is a little different than Isaiah. Same throne, same Lord on the throne, but now around the throne are 24 thrones or seats, 24 elders sitting on the throne, white raiment and crowns. Now, this is where you make a mistake when you start going to commentaries. So, I don't know how many interpretations. There's two or three at least. But in all interpretations, at least the church is represented. So, many feel that these are representative of the church, if not in part, maybe the whole. I should have read Brother Stephen's book, but I didn't. So, but around these thrones, around the throne, there are 24 elders on the thrones. They play an important part coming up. And out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Here again, we have a lot of sound, majestic sound coming from the throne of God. Now, what, you Bible scholars, what does this remind you of? flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. Turn to Ezekiel. No, Exodus. Is it Exodus? Brother, what where are we turning to? Watch him get there before I do. Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19. We'll read verse 9 and then 18 and 19. I'm just fascinated with these kind of things, so you'll have to forgive me. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak to you." 18. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And his smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. You know, out of the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. One of my favorite things to do, up to a point, is to listen to thunder. Is anybody else like that? Bobby, you like to do that? Big thunderstorm comes. There's almost nothing better to go out in the back porch, screen porch, and just hear the thunder, see the thunder. You feel its rumble and its power. And you see the wind blowing the trees, the sky blackens. And depending on what kind of thunder is, it's kind of nice. Until it starts flashing around you, striking the trees near you, and you're shaking, then you go into the house for protection, as if that's going to protect you, but anyway. But there's a great power demonstrated in thunder and sounds. So out of the throne comes flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. All the while, what else is happening? It's filling up with smoke. His temple is filling out the whole temple. There's this sound of crashing coming from the throne. And the seraphims are crying, still crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." This is written in, what, AD 60? They've been crying out since the time they were created, since Isaiah's time. They've been crying out. Let's continue. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Many say that's the Holy Spirit. And before the throne, there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. Verse 8, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Now listen to this. Day and night, they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, God the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." So day and night, this sound, this cry of the seraphim go on continuously. This means forever and ever. That is antipathy is going back and forth of holy, holy, holy. Now this place, I've gone to some pains to just to describe to you what Scripture says about the throne room of God, how majestic it is, how full of wonder and power it is. It is a place that really startles the mind. Well, look at the glory of God. Look at Revelation 1:7. John, when he turned and saw the one whose face was like the sun shining in strength, he fell at his feet as a dead man. He fell at his feet. He just fainted when he saw the Lord in this kind of glory. Ezekiel did the same when he had his vision of the throne of God. He fell down. Isaiah, when he saw God's glory, it laid him out. He didn't faint. He didn't fall down. But he has such a great sense of unworthiness before the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, what is our reaction? And after all this wonderful just being in this for 2 or 3 months, I had many things to say. Excuse me. Many things to say. But yesterday, I said, Lord, I can't say any of it. There's only two things that really has struck me, and they're very simple things. So I'm just going to share to you simply what probably you would say the same. What is your first reaction to all this? What do? You fall down and you worship. You fall down and you worship him. Look at this, and look at verse 10. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him. The 24 elders represents us. Chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him. In verse 14, the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped him. Even in heaven, in another section, it talks about the seraphim and the elders falling down, all of them falling down before the Lord. That is the first reaction to this grand cry, this majestic cry in heaven of holy, holy, holy. You have to fall down and worship. You have to exalt the one who sits on the throne, who is infinitely holy, whose holiness is transcendently above anything we could even know. And we are represented there. But you know, there's also in Scripture, it's called the holy echo. Have you heard of this? There's a holy echo of the throne room on earth. Turn to Psalm chapter 99. In heaven, you have this cry of a thrice holy God. That means holy said three times, of a thrice holy God. And there's an echo on earth of worship for the one who's holy.
Psalm what?
Psalm 99. Look for the words, holy is he. Psalm 99, verse, we'll start with 1, read through 1 through 4. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. There's the first holy. Verse 5, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For holy is the Lord our God. Three holies. Now, one of the greatest honors I think that we have is to worship the Holy One. Look at verse 3. Let them praise your great and awesome name. To praise and worship his great and awesome name because he's holy. What a privilege. What is the position of our worship? Verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. That's the only place to worship a God who reigns in such majesty. Verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. To me, that means bringing all of God's people together at his holy hill and worshiping the Lord Jesus because he's holy. Now think of that. I think the musical term is antipathy. Maury, where is it? One sings and the other one sings?
Antiphony.
And what?
Antiphony.
And we did one of those this morning, correct? You are holy. I was so glad when we sang that because that's, you are holy. You are holy. Well, in the heavens, there's an antipathy between the seraphim, one group to another. Holy, holy, holy. But at the same time, there's an antipathy. Tiphony, like a phony.
P-H-O.
There's antiphony, tiphony, from heaven and earth. I got to think of an easier word for that. This is amazing. While there's that going on in heaven, there's God's people on earth echoing the cry of heaven. holy, holy, holy. And we on earth are echoing that cry. And there's a lot of songs in Revelation that we can echo on earth. If you go through and read the songs, we get the privilege of echoing on earth what's being said and worshiped in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful thing to be able to come and worship. That was the first thing that struck me. The second thing that struck me was the connection between God's holiness and fear. God's holiness and fear in worship. So unlike the world today, God is just a guy next door or some lovable, I don't know. It's almost blasphemous to say. But listen to these. I've just wrote down some scriptures. Just listen to them. Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises? I will worship towards his holy temple. O fear the Lord, ye his holy ones. The Lord, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him. Let them praise thy great and terrible name. Terrible means awesome. Holy is he. Perfecting the holiness in the fear of the Lord. Like as he which called you is holy, be yourselves also holy, and pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify your name? For thou alone art holy. In God's presence there is holiness, and we are to bow low in humility and worship the Holy One. Anything else is unacceptable. Now, brothers and sisters, we love the Lord. There needs to be an awesome reverence, a reverential awe in our outlook to our Lord and Savior. There needs to be the scripture is called fear, but it's like a reverential awe. And we need to have that. Fear of the Lord is actually good. Psalm 2:11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. At your holy temple, I will bow in fear and reverence before you. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Glorify and fear him. You see how it goes together? Holiness, worshiping the Lord in the fear of the Lord. It's not a bad thing to fear the God. It's not a bad thing to have a great reverence, holy reverence for him. Does this strike you as, I don't know about that. But you know what? When you view holiness from the viewpoint of heaven, it is proclaimed in unmistakable, loud voice continually. Holy, holy, holy. And everything around that throne falls down in awe and reverential fear and worships him. I think in today's world, we need to fear the Lord and know that he reigns. God says, what are you worried about man for? Fear me. I'm the God. I'm the Lord. Man's not. We need to fear the Lord and have which brings a humility about our outlook toward each other and toward the Lord. Why do I say toward each other? Because the holy God, when he ordains something, and that's the wrong word, but when he touches something and it becomes holy, we're to have a reverential fear and awe of that thing. And what are we called as God's people? A royal priesthood, a holy nation. What is the scriptures called in scripture? Called the Holy Scriptures. Our own bodies are called the temple of God. Therefore, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, there should be a humility toward all that God calls holy, a reverential awe. And I don't want to be in reverential awe of you, but when we come together, there's a great humility one to another that comes because of the fear of the Lord. The other thing is that we have a great privilege when we come here every Sunday morning to worship the Lord, to worship the Holy One. And there should be within our hearts a reverence, and I believe there is, a great reverence for this time to worship the Lord. One of my favorite songs is, "In Your Presence, Lord, in Your Presence, Lord. I desire to be continually in Your presence, Lord." And when I've been studying this, I said, ooh, in the presence of a holy God, I desire to be in Your presence. Now, when I've had trouble with sin, temptations, which dog me, I've been worshiping the Lord by just joining the seraphim and praying, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And it seemed like the temptations just are gone. When I lose a sense of out of touch with the Lord, I just begin to worship, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God the Almighty." When I've been getting, what's going on in the world, "Holy, holy, holy," because that holiness is connected to His great reigning, His power, His might. And it has given me a sense of connectedness to the Lord. It's given me a sense of, humility, we'll see, but just of love and respect for each one of you, that we're called a holy temple. It's just an amazing thing. So let's pray. Lord, these things are quite remarkable. Lord, Your holiness is just unfathomable, Lord. Lord, we are so grateful that such a holy God would love such as we. Lord, we bless Your name and praise You. In Your name I pray. Amen.